Because I want to talk on a topic. I'm going to bring a topic up right now. You set it up perfect for me. I just want to talk about and pick your brains. This wasn't not a big, long, detailed one, but it keeps coming back to me. I can't escape it. So the gospel that doesn't call you out of the world. So I want you to ponder this as you think about all these experiences you have with people. You witness to people. I don't care what flavor they are. Roman Catholic, Baptist, Lutheran, Mormon, Jehovah Witness. Anybody that claims any kind of gospel. I'm not talking about worldly unbelievers. I'm talking about people that claim Christ. You talk to them and they go, oh, amen. Yeah, you're street preaching. Good job, brother. You know, they call you brother and you go, well, what are you? Well, I'm a Baptist. And you go, all right, what are you doing at this carnal football game? Well, can't we have fun? I mean, Jesus wants us to have fun. And you start talking to them and what you learn is that the gospel that they believe in many ways mirrors what we teach. Oh, faith in Jesus and his shed blood. Amen, brother. Well, you got to repent. Amen, brother. I believe in repentance. Okay, well, you got to be born from above. Yeah, amen. That happened to me 37 years ago. And you got to walk in holiness. Oh, yeah, good old-fashioned holiness. And you got to endure. Now, some Calvinists are out there saying no, but a lot of people say you got to endure. But what I want to ask, pick your brother's brains about, I know you've thought about this, but let's really look at it. A gospel that doesn't call you out of the world, it's not the biblical gospel. And anybody that still claims Christ and is of the world, they don't have the biblical gospel. If there's not all truth in the gospel, it's not the full truth. It hasn't affected their lives to call them to repentance, to be truly transformed, to not want the things of the world, to now walk in real holiness. It comes all the way back to repentance. They've never fully turned from all of their ways. What did they turn from? Well, I was a drunk or an alcoholic or a drug addict, and I left that. Okay, what about your other sin? Well, what sin? Your worldly life. And so talk to me about that. I know you've pondered it, but it's really important. It's the one thing that we can take to a religious person that they cannot argue about. And we can say, you know what? Your gospel's false. They can argue about Christmas. They argue about music. They argue about dress. They argue about the church system. They argue about the modern pastor. You tell them, if your gospel and your Jesus hasn't called you out of the world, explain to me how Jesus said, my sheep are not of the world. How can you be his sheep? They can't explain it. What do you think?
I'm going to say that they agree with the gospel we preach in theory, but not in practice.
That's right.
So that's right. If you actually go deep enough, you say, believe in Jesus Christ and his shed blood, his death, burial, his resurrection, the crucified one, right? So you say, yeah, yeah, amen. But then there's a problem. Jesus didn't die so that you got to get out of hell card and now you can go live in sin. He died to cleanse you from your sins, not so you could keep doing them, but so you'd be set free from them.
Amen.
There's the first point. Second point, repentance. Oh yeah, gotta repent. Well, what does repentance mean? Define it. It means you turn away from your sin. So why haven't you? If you actually believed in repentance, why haven't you repented? Why haven't you left false ways? Why haven't you left the word? If you claim you believe in being born again, it happened 37 years ago. Well, a born-again saint of God has been born into the kingdom of God. They're no longer living or a part of Satan's kingdom.
Okay, but
they're not a part of the world.
Stop right there, Brother Purgos. Right where he's at, right where he's brought them to, they haven't really done that. Is not their problem, their main sins are they're still of the world. Think about it. What's their sin? So you take your average churchgoer you witness to. What's their sin? Just start listing some of them.
False ways.
Like what? Be detailed.
They never truly study on their own. They continually rely on one person to tell them what's right and what's wrong.
So like a false, so like a modern pastor, like a false teacher.
Yes.
Who usually is always still of the world as well. So he's bringing his own perceived notions and he's practicing worldly ways and encouraging them to stay in the world. Here's my argument, or when argument, my point. The sins that we encounter, it's of the world. They're all of the world. Pagan holidays, sin. pride and vanity, sin. They love sports, football, entertainment, sin. They have not left the world's ways, which we include churchianity, because it's they're merged with the world. And my whole thesis here, my whole point is if you can convince someone, hey, your gospel's false because it's never called you out of the world. And if they would go read in the scriptures, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And then he says in, what is it? It's in John, they're not of the world. How can you be of the world and claim Jesus? Is he a liar? You see my point? The gospel has not transformed them enough to come out of the world. And I really think I focus on this a lot. And then I turn to people and I go, you're still worldly. And they go, what? And I go, you're claiming Jesus, but you're worldly. How can this be? And no one's ever given me a good answer. Oh, you're like that. And they turn around and they walk away. You're a friend of the world. You're God's enemy. You love the things of the world. 1 John 2:15. The love of the Father's not in you. You conform to the world. Didn't Paul say don't conform to the world?
Yeah, they're...
Right?
They believe, at best, they believe the gospel in theory.
Right, I agree.
But even that, like if you go into definition of terms with them, they don't actually believe the gospel.
That's
because
true.
Again, you ask them and go through the gospel, and I've had this happen. You preach the gospel to them, and they're, yeah, amen, right, that's right, I believe that. Okay, you ask them, what is the gospel? And they've got, like, nothing. At best, it's like, well, Jesus. I mean, that's the best to come up with.
I mean, the core of the problem is they're not born again, I get it. But my point is, when you look at their lives, they're worldly. They love the world. They love the things of the world. They love their flesh. They love their pride and vanity. They love their false church system. They love the culture. They love sports. They love politics. They love entertainment. That is what's separating them from ever seeing the truth to come and be born again. They love the world. They're of the world.
Yeah.
Right? And so I just wanted to bring that up. I wanted to look up, I got a couple scriptures here. I feel free if you got any scriptures to talk about the world, but to me, it's in my ministry, when I see it every day, it becomes really important to me to like make a delineation between what separates people that we witness to from the truth. And it's, you keep looking at it, it's like they're of the world. It's not like they truly have the real Jesus and the gospel, and they're just one or two sins away. They love the world. They have not come out of the world. And it's the kingdom of God or it's the kingdom of Satan. Isn't that what this is really about? The kingdom of God. We've all been born into it. We're seeking it, living it. These people that we witness to that claim Christ, what kingdom are they living in?
Haven't been born above into God's kingdom.
So what kingdom are they living in?
Darkness, Satan's kingdom.
So when we were leaving the festival yesterday, as we were leaving, there's a whole bunch of people sitting on benches, and I got the inclination to preach, and I hammered them pretty hard, and nobody said a word. They were just sitting there looking at me like they were stunned. I was saying to them that if you can't understand the words from the preacher, from the Word of God, go read John 8. Jesus said, Satan is your father. And you are all thus children of Satan. And they're all looking at me like, one lady just went like this with her hand to brush me out. But all the rest of them were looking at me and they're like, us children of Satan? How can that be? We're in God Bless America. But that's literally what Jesus said. If you can't hear my words to the religious leaders, he said in John 8, Satan is your father. If Satan's your father, Brother Purgos, what does that make you? A child of...
Child of lies, child of darkness, child of the world.
Child of Satan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're a child of Satan, so...
Yeah, I have a scripture verse here.
Yeah, go for it.
1 John 5:4-5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So quite frankly, if they're of the world and they haven't come out of the world and they haven't overcome the world, they can't even truly claim to believe in Jesus.
Well,
because if they had faith in him, they'd overcome the world.
Well, I don't... Hold on. That's not really true, because Satan believes in Christ, and so do the demons, and they tremble. They have a head knowledge belief.
Yeah.
They do believe in him.
But they don't actually have faith.
Well, not they don't have a faith to come out. 1 John 4, 4 and 5. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We love that. They are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world heareth them. So that's that delineation I'm trying to just drive home, and I know you guys all know it, but it's like, we are born of God, we're living for God's kingdom by the fruit and evidence of the Holy Spirit. These people we all encounter that claim Christ, they are of the world. They are Satan's children. They cannot hear the word. They cannot grasp it. They don't want to grasp it because they still love the things of the world. And I guess the reason I'm doing this, if you ever think that you're close to any of these people, maybe we're kind of close. I want you to ponder this thought. You're not close. You're miles away. They're in Satan's kingdom and we're in God's kingdom, and they don't have a clue, because they are looking with their flesh and they love the things of the world. You know what I'm saying? It just makes a big... It really sets us apart, not to lift us up as special, but to see what God has done in us and how the world hates us and why we don't get along with man-made religion and why they scorn us. Like when Brother Koo and I go out and we preach, I mean, the religious people hate us the most. Why? Because they have this false Jesus that lets them be of the world, and we basically attack directly their false Jesus. The people of the world that don't have Jesus, we're no threat to them. They go, ah, whatever, you kook, you believe in him, we don't care. The religious people with their false Jesus, the true gospel is a direct threat against what they believe, is it not?
Yeah.
Like Jesus with the Pharisees. Go ahead, Brother Cool.
Yeah, and I like to preach this. I actually preached this the other day. This is the same world that killed God, that killed Christ. He put him on the stake. Why would you want to participate in Satan's kingdom, in the world that put Christ on the stake? And I was also preaching about, you can't serve two masters. You can't be on both sides of the street and kind of straddle the line, bouncing back and forth. You're either all in on one or all in on the other.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be born again unless you commit fully to God on one side. That's just something I wanted to throw in there.
Yeah, and these people have never, as Brother Zello said, they don't understand. They have a different Jesus. They have a Jesus that lets them be of the world. They have a Jesus that lets them keep their flesh and their pride, their vanity, their false ways, and they still have Jesus. It's a false Savior. And that's why we're oceans apart from them, because if they knew the biblical Savior, they would understand what repentance is. They probably would be born again, and they would, ready? They would flee the world. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world. Let me ask you a question. These people that we witness to, have they ever escaped the pollutions of the world?
Not by what we see.
That's what I'm saying. Let's look at how they're in a totally different bucket. He says, and after having escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, they are again entangled in it and overcome. Look at, they're overcome in the wrong direction. They're overcome back in their sin. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And that's just what I'm trying to just get you to think about, is that look at your life before you were born again and how the world was part of you. You were like this, so was I. We were like this with the world in many ways.
Yeah.
Right?
We were of the world.
We were of the world. And now Christ called us out and we made this break. And now we see clear, not the things of the world. But these people with this false religion, churchianity, they've never come out of the world. They're not born again to see clear. And I think it's a good way to... Just, if you want to call it, hammer on them, use the sword of the Spirit to maybe give them something that the Holy Spirit can convict them by, to make them see they're of the world and the wrath is coming for them. Christ is coming to destroy the world. And if you're in it, you're going down with it. It's kind of the broader umbrella. So think of this. When we witness, I know many times we witness on like different topics. Oh, you're practicing Christmas and Easter. Oh, you don't dress biblical. Oh, you use instrumental music. Oh, you belong to, name yourself after a man. And those are all valid. They're all good to use. They should chip away at their foundation. But the bigger problem is, really, is they are of the world. And all of those things we mentioned go into that one bucket. And if they could see themselves as like, what do you mean I'm of the world? Well, you're not of Christ if you're of the world. It's a clear distinction. You're not of Christ if you're still of the world. Is that not true?
Yeah, you can't be, because he's not of the world. He overcame the world. The world killed him because it hates him. And, well, you can't serve two masters. It's like fighting for two armies at once. You can't do it.
Yep. Amen.
You're basically an enemy to both.
Yeah. Here, Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. They never done that. They live that way. They live in the world, but they live all those sinful things. Unrighteousness, covetousness. I mean, it's amazing when you talk to these people. Holiness, they might say yes, they agree to that word, but they have no idea what it means. They're not living it. Righteousness, that, you know, testing things like the NFL and sports and movies and entertainment. The last guy's been emailing me. He just emailed me these movies that are so-called Christian, telling me these are good movies. And I'm like, you can't be serious. You're wasting your time on foolishness and entertainment when we should be about the gospel. They're still of the world. So they've Christianized parts of the world too, have they not? How have they done that?
Well, they try and take worldly things and slap Jesus' name on it as a label, and now it's supposedly Christian. And here's another concept that just popped into my head. They don't even understand what it means to be of the world, because the one thing that I often get is, oh, we're in the world but not of it. And then it kind of, the fact that they're participating in like this really wicked carnal event and trying to use that to justify it also tells me they actually are so clueless that they don't even know what it means to be of the world versus in the world.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They haven't
right.
come out of the world, so they have no concept of what it means.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of what I'm just kind of trying to drive that home, that exact point. Colossians 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to the ordinances? So it's like the Bible always makes a distinction between God's people and the world. It's always separate. But yet, all these people we deal with, again, talking about Christianity, churchianity, they're all of the world and they think they're Christians. It's like this, it's like a hybrid. They've invented a hybrid. Oh, I love football. Why? Oh, they kneel in the end zone and pray. They've attached Jesus onto wickedness, idolatry, covetousness, and they think it's not worldly anymore.
I just wanted to throw in real quick, we're going to be studying Revelation pretty soon. The Antichrist, which is going to be basically Satan on earth, he's going to give them exactly what they want, a god that doesn't convict you of sin, that says you can live in the world and you can be at peace, you can be at one with God, you can do whatever you want. And then the Christians during that time are going to be the ones that say, no, this is wrong. You have to obey the Creator. You have to obey God. We're going to be persecuted for it because we're calling them out. We're calling out this God-man that's on the earth.
Yeah.
And that's going to be that great tribulation where we're always on the run, but, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Satan's going to use this mixing Christianity, false, I should say, spiritual journeys. He's mixing it with all the different faiths of the world, and it's going to be used against people. But yeah, I don't know, just Romans 12:2, be ye not conformed to this world. We all know that. We all live that way. We've all given up our worldly lusts and our worldly interests. These churchianity people, the pastors, will not call that out because they know that empties buildings. They know that makes the money pit dry up. And they say, oh, you can be of the world, when the Bible clear.
Look, 2 Corinthians 6. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. They want to have fellowship and be a partaker, not come out of the world and not be separate from it. God's not even their father. They're still of their father, Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm just trying to say. If you get a chance to witness to people, it's a good thing to maybe take them there to this concept. They think they're of Christ. They have a false Jesus, a false gospel. They're still of the world. And this might be the best verse. John 15:18. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know ye that it hated me before it hated you. And then 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that. They love the world loves them, they get along with the world, they live like the world, they dress like the world, they talk like the world, they act like the world, they entertain like the world. They're the world. And if you could get somebody to see, what do you mean I'm of the world? And if they read this clear delineation, it could be a way to convict them to go, how can I follow a system that's of the world when my Savior said, I can't be of the world.
Yeah, another thing that I like to preach is the Lord himself said, the world hates me, it'll hate you. You're not greater than, like, it's the servant's not greater than his master. So whatever the Lord went through with scourgings, mockings, they said he had a devil, all of this stuff, you don't see that in the modern Christians that are the churchgoers. You don't see people hating them, saying they have devils, anything like that, because they're exactly like the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's who I'm aiming this at, is people that claim Christ and churchianity that live and act and function, defend the world. How about this one? John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth. I love that. There's another one that you'd like to bring up to people. He's the Holy Spirit. Hey, if you have him, should you be holy? Yeah, he's the Spirit of truth. If you have him, should you live in truth? Yeah, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. There's the whole problem right there. They don't have the Spirit of God. They can't see the truth of God because they're still of the world. That's kind of my whole point there. They can't even see the truth because they don't want to. They love the world. You love the world, the love of the Father's not in you.
Amen. Like scripture. Thinking about it, it's kind of one of those topics that if you're missing this in scripture, I don't know what Bible you're reading.
Well, yeah, I get it. But again, it's because you're born again, you're illuminated by the Spirit, you've chosen by your will to repent, and God's shown it to you. These people haven't. It's their own choice. They have it, and hopefully these things that we're talking about might be some conviction to them. And then go to 2 Thessalonians 1:7, 8, and 9. And to whom are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Tell people this, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. He shall punish them with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power, from the glory of his power. He's coming to destroy the world and all the people that are not born of him, that have come out of the world. So I was preaching yesterday. I've been preaching this because a lot of people know about the Titanic. And I tell people, America's like the Titanic. She's going down. She's going to sink like a rock. And if you know anything about the Titanic, when that boat was going down, if anybody was in the water or in a life raft, what's the first thing you do to get when? What's the first thing you do to survive when a giant ship's going down?
You get as far as you can.
You get out of it. You get away from it. You don't associate with it. And I was preaching to people, you hang on to the propeller. You hang on to the bow. You hang on to the rail. You're going down with it. You must repent and get away and come out of this culture. And people were looking at me like they've never heard anything like that before. And I'm like, America's a Titanic. She's going down. There's no hope for her. But there's hope for you if you repent and leave her. Not God bless America. He's coming to judge it. And the Christians, the so-called Christians, are the world that he's going to judge. And hopefully by preaching these things, you can put some seeds in people that would go read the scriptures and go, yeah, wait a minute, we're just like the world, Harvey. I thought Jesus said his sheep aren't of the world. Let him explain that to his wife, or wife, or wife explain that to the husband or whatever, or pastor. Oh, well, pastor, how come we're just like the world? Wow. You know, the world is what? What would they explain the world as? Rapists? Mass murderers? Bank robbers? No. The Bible tells us what the world is. It's the system outside of Christ, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they're trying to make this narrow road very broad. And so they're trying to encompass more things on it than it is. But here's another question to ask them. Would the Holy Spirit have you be a part of the world?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. And the scriptures say very clearly that he that has not the Spirit of Christ is none of his.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which spirit are you following?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, so it's just another kind of talking point to maybe think about, another kind of arsenal in the toolkit when you look at somebody and you know, pretty easy to tell if they're worldly or not. Like all the people walking by me yesterday. I mean, the women are decorated up. The men are wearing their Green Bay Packer jerseys and all this stuff. Pretty easy to tell the people of the world. I get it. If you saw a plain dressed person walking by that maybe they're not biblically dressed, you could say, oh, maybe they're a follower of Christ and they're getting there. I get it. Maybe they never learned that. But I mean, these people love the things of the world. They're plastering them on their body. They're carrying them around. They promote them at every step they can, and they follow pastors that love their favorite football teams and movies and all that. These people are of the world, and they have a false Jesus. And that's probably, not probably, it is, the deception Paul talked about. In the last days, they won't endure sound doctrine, and they'll be following false gospels that are accursed. And he warned about false Jesus, false spirits, false gospels. And Brother Kuo and I were talking about how Satan can have spirits that mimic the Holy Spirit that make you feel like, oh, I'm feeling all good and warm and fuzzy and tingly, and I know it's the Holy Spirit. So see, I'm of the world. I'm fine. We witnessed to a lady in the gas station not long ago. She saw our van. She walked up to us. She's talking to us, and she had these supernatural experiences. She saw signs in the clouds, and I said, ma'am, I wouldn't go by that. I'd go by the Word of God. And I start preaching the gospel to her, and she went like this. She goes, oh, see, I can feel it right now. It's like goosebumps, tingly all over me. I can just feel it. And I looked at Sister Amma, and she looked at me, and I'm like, yeah, it's probably familiar spirits, because she was worldly, and she knows she's worldly, and she doesn't care about being worldly. She's following tingly feelings and signs and wonders, and oh, I'm jumping up and down and crying. I run to the altar once a week and throw my pack of cigarettes on the stage, even though I still live worldly and carnal. That type of stuff going on. And there could be false spirits that have come, not come, they are here, and deceive people. They're following a false Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah?
Well, we can sum this up as a false Jesus, a false gospel, and a false spirit.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11:4. Yeah. Yeah, so if they're of the world, they clearly are not of Christ. And that's the big delineation that you can use and just tell them, you're of the world. You need to go figure that out. Go read in the Bible. Show me where you could be of the world to be of Christ. End of story. They got nowhere to go. It's not even close. It's not even close. Brother Purgos, what say you? You haven't said too much on this.
I think 1 John 2:16 says everything, if they were to actually even consider. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, if only they could see that with
the next one, brother.
Clear mind. Yeah, read the next one, too.
And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're not doing the will of the Father. So, yeah, what a glorious thing that God has shown us all the light, and we did answer with our will. And what a difference it makes in your life to come out of the world and not be conformed to it. And to test your life against the Word of God, not by these ever-changing experiences, spiritual journeys, all these different movements, all these different groups, but to test it against the eternal Word of God, huh, brothers?
Amen.
Yeah, that's Amen. Awesome. All right, we're going to leave that one right there. I'm going to start a new audio, and we'll put this up later in the Ecclesia gathering.